Hello, wonderful human beings, Sheldon Evans here, and in this week's video, we'll be going over 5 tips that'll help you improve your wedding photography. Or if you've never shot weddings before, these are 5 things you definitely need to know. So without wasting any more of your time, let's jump right into it. Alright guys, so when I was working full-time as a wedding photographer, I was shooting around 30 to 40 weddings a year, which is a lot. It meant that just about every one of my weekends, I was shooting a wedding, and then I would edit those photos during the week and deliver them to clients, do client meetings, send out emails, do admin, and all of the different things that go into running a wedding photography business. So you know that these tips are coming from a good place and someone who worked as a professional wedding photographer. I learned these along the journey, and some of them I wish I knew when I started wedding photography. So let's jump into tip number one, which is kind of a non-tip and something that you shouldn't do, and that is just get started or just jump into wedding photography. And the reason being is that there's a lot of bad advice going around at the moment that I've seen online and on YouTube that you should just start shooting weddings if you haven't done it before, because you'll gain a lot of experience. You'll be able to shoot products, you'll be able to shoot couples and portraits, and you'll be able to do event photography all in one day. I think this is terrible advice. You're risking or playing with one of the most important days in somebody's life in order to gain experience. So if you screw up, you could potentially ruin this person's day or ruin their memories because they have no photos to remember it by. Another reason this is so bad is that your name is on the line as a photographer. In photography, your name is your personal brand. So if you screw up or make a mistake, your own name is being dragged through the mud, and there's no real way to recover from that. So instead, if you want to get started with wedding photography or you want to gain more experience, I'd suggest asking another photographer if you could assist them on one of their weddings. Now, there's a difference between assisting and second shooting, and not many people know the difference between these two. Assisting means that you accompany a main photographer to a wedding that they're shooting, and you carry their bags, you move their light stands, you arrange people, and you run errands that they might need on the day. Whereas second shooting means that you're just as important as the main photographer, or you're shooting something that the main photographer can't shoot because they're somewhere else at the venue. No photographer can be in 2 different places at one time. So for example, if the main photographer was shooting the bride getting ready and they needed someone to capture the groom getting ready because it was happening at the same time, as a second photographer, you'd do that. So if you've never shot a wedding before, I'd recommend becoming an assistant. So contact a photographer that you admire and ask them if you'd be able to assist them on a wedding. Most of the time, they'll be happy to have you as an assistant if they don't already have someone. But don't get discouraged if they say no, because in the end, you're going to want to ask a few different photographers in any case. Because what I've seen happen time and time again is that if one photographer assists another and they never assist anyone else, they sort of start to emulate that photographer's style and don't develop a style of their own. So I'd suggest asking a few different photographers if you could assist at their weddings. That way you get a different perspective from each photographer that you assist. You can see how they handle the wedding day, how they interact with the bride and the groom, how they manage people, and how they shoot. You can even see their creative style from how they see light, how they compose their shots, and a ton of other different tips that you'll learn from assisting multiple photographers. And as a backup, the main photographer has someone to fall back on in case something goes terribly wrong. I assisted at over 40 weddings before I shot my first one. Which takes us on to our second tip, and that is have backups of everything. You really need to invest in the gear that you need to shoot weddings, and if you can't afford it, rent. Wedding photography and photography in general can get very expensive very quickly, especially if you have gas. Gear acquisition syndrome, which just about every photographer has. But this is why I emphasize renting so often, because you get to play with the gear that you've always wished you'd like to use or shoot with, and you can see if you'd like it or not. So if you want to rent a 35mm 1.4 lens but you can't afford it, just rent it out, play with it for the day, and see if it improved your photography. If it didn't, then obviously it's not meant for you, and you can move on to your next dream piece of gear. For a wedding, I'd really recommend having a full range of focal length so that you have something for every situation. So you want something wide, something mid-range, and something telephoto. I know a lot of photographers prefer shooting on prime lenses on a wedding day. Something like a 50mm 1.2 lens, an 85mm lens, a 35, a 24. But the problem that I have with this is that I'm a very sort of run and gun style photographer. So I shoot very quickly and it makes it difficult for me to constantly change lenses if I want to adjust my focal length. So what I do is I shoot with zoom lenses instead. I don't usually need a very shallow depth of field for the way that I compose my shots, so having a 2.8 lens is perfect for me. I absolutely love the 24-70 f2.8 lens. This is amazing for just about any situation. You have everything from a wide to a mid-range to a slightly telephoto lens all built into one, and you're able to capture just about everything you need on the day with this one lens. However, I'd also recommend having something a lot more zoomed in or telephoto to really capture those candid moments. My absolute favorite lens of all time is the Canon 135 f2.8. two lens. It really allows you to isolate your subject and separate them from the background and really capture those candid moments that everybody wants to see. And as I said, you always need to have backups. Anything could go wrong on a wedding day, and if you don't have a backup, there's nothing you can do. So along with my zoom lenses, I would always bring my primes with me, just in case. I've had one of my lenses accidentally kicked across the entire wedding venue by one of the groomsmen while he was dancing. Luckily, I had a backup and I was able to continue the wedding with that. So if you are going to rent a second camera as well. Anything could happen to your camera. There's so many intricate pieces to it that anything could go wrong, and you don't want it to happen on a wedding day. Maybe your focus stops working, maybe it won't turn on, maybe you run out of battery and one camera is not working but the other is. It's always good to have backups. And one final thing is that you need at least one speed light at a wedding venue. I don't really like shooting with speed lights or artificial light at a wedding. I really like to capture the mood that was originally set by the bride and groom. They put a lot of effort into creating a mood at the wedding with the lighting. So when you come in there with your huge flashes and your speed light, you create something that wasn't intended by the bride and groom. Before we move on to the next tip, I just want to take a second to thank Squarespace for supporting this channel and sponsoring this week's video. Now, if you haven't heard about them before, I built my entire website on Squarespace and it only took me a couple minutes. If you're a wedding photographer or someone wanting to get into wedding photography, I highly recommend setting up a Squarespace website. It makes it super easy for you to create a blog and upload images regularly or upload more images to your portfolio on a regular basis. Especially if you're a wedding photographer and you're taking tons of images every weekend, you're always going to want to update your portfolio. And Squarespace makes this a dream to do. It's super simple, you never have to touch a single line of code, and their 24/7 support is incredible if you run into any issues. So if you want to start a free trial, you can visit this link and you can use offer code Sheldon at checkout to get 10% off of your first order. So whether you need a domain name, a website, or an online store, make your next move with Squarespace. But more on that later, because we need to get back to our tips. The next tip is to have a shot list. And I know you're immediately going to say that you don't want a shot list, you want to be creative on the day and you want to see how the light falls and you want to compose your shots and just be creative. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, especially on a wedding day, the pressure can get too much and you can go completely blank. You can forget what you were doing, you could forget what shots you needed to get, and you can forget how to pose your couple. This happens so often to photographers who are just getting into wedding photography. I'm not going to say that this is going to happen to you, but it definitely does happen. And there's a simple fix for it. So if you do have some shots that you definitely need on the day, write them down on a piece of paper, put them in the notes app on your phone, or you can do what I always tell my new students to do, is write it on a sticky note or a piece of paper with some tape and stick it behind the screen on your camera. A lot of cameras these days have flip out screens or flip up screens, so just put that piece of paper behind there. The reason you want to do it this way is that if you're in the middle of shooting a couple, you don't want to stop the shoot and ask them to hold on for a second, I just want to look for some ideas on my phone, or pull out a piece of paper and go through a shot list. You'll have it right behind your camera screen and no one will be any wiser. So you can continue shooting without skipping a beat. You should also ask your bride and groom for a list of group photos that they need before the wedding. This way it'll make it go so much faster so that you have more time for the couple shoots on the wedding day. Often what ends up happening during group photos is that people start pulling one another around and saying, I want a photo with this person and I want a photo with this person and can we get a photo with these people? It ends up wasting your time and drags on much longer than it should. So having a list of group photos really will speed up that time and make you get the shots that you need. Sometimes the bride and groom will also have some photos that they definitely do want and that they don't want you to miss. For example, there might be a special engraving on the ring that they want you to get, or a special section in the venue set up in remembrance of a past family member. This happens often and you need to remember to get these shots. So having that written down will make it so much easier. And as I spoke about before, sometimes your mind can go blank and you can forget how to pose your couple. So remember that your camera is a device just as it is your phone. So you can upload images to your camera prior to the wedding day of images or ideas that you definitely want to get. So if you're busy shooting and you can't really visualize what you wrote down on that piece of paper, you can upload images to your camera's memory card and just play them back on your camera's screen to see ideas that you wanted to shoot or poses that you wanted on the wedding day. The next tip is to arrive early and do some location scouting. Often on a wedding day, depending on how strict the bride and groom are, the schedule can go completely haywire and you'll have no time to do any location scouting. So it's important to arrive early and do location scouting on your own. Walk around the venue and visualize where would be best for certain types of photos. Where you'd shoot the rings, where you'd do the couple shoot, where you'd take photos of the dress, where the group photos will be done. So you have this built up in the back of your mind. So on the wedding day, you don't get put on the spot and surprised when you need to find a location in a few seconds. you'll have that in the back of your mind that you can refer to and say, yes, I remember there was a great spot down here behind the venue where the sun was going to shine through that we can do group photos. You can even go to the venue a few days before the wedding to scout it out in your own time so that there's no rush at all and no pressure at all. I often do this on destination weddings in a country that I've never been to before, because sometimes getting from the one venue to the next can be a bit of a struggle or on a route that I'm not familiar with, so it's important that I know where I'm going and what I'm doing on the wedding day. That brings us onto our final tip, which is know your tools. You probably think that you know your camera very well, but you don't want it to be a wedding day that determines whether or not you do. When you're put into a high pressure situation like a wedding day, you can realize very quickly that you don't know your camera as well as you thought you did. You need to be able to look at a scene and know in the back of your mind what settings need to be adjusted to expose correctly for that scene. And you need to be able to change those settings very quickly if you move into a different scene. For example, let's say you're shooting a bride and groom inside of the chapel, and as they're walking out, they walk out into the bright sunlight and immediately you have to change your settings. So you need to know how to expose for that dark scene, and as you come out, know exactly what you're going to change so that you can expose for the brighter scene outside. So there's a few different things you can do to improve the speed at which you take photos. You can give yourself a time limit. Either do this at home and set up a specific scene that you want to shoot and give yourself a time limit to capture everything in that scene in a few different focal lengths. So think about getting a wide shot, something tight and close up, and then something more creative. And give yourself 1 or 2 minutes to do this. You can do this with props, or you can do this on a separate photo shoot that isn't as reliant on time as a wedding is. For example, a portrait shoot with a friend, give yourself a time limit to capture them. I recently did this in the 3 photographers challenge that is on my channel, where 3 photographers shot the same model and we only had 3 minutes each to capture that. So it really put pressure on us and helped us speed up the way that we shoot. Remember that we're all shooting on digital these days, so we have memory cards, we have room, we have space to waste. If you don't like the photos in the end, you can delete them, but it's not in the old days when we only had a few shots to capture exactly what we needed. And that's it. So to wrap up, you need to assist another photographer, invest in the tools and the gear that you need, get a shot list from your bride and groom or write your own, arrive early or the day before to do some location scouting, and learn your tools. I really hope you guys liked the video. If you did like the video, don't forget to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you want to see more videos like this in the future. I upload videos every single week, and as always, I shall see you in the next video. Cheers.